First Timothy, chapter 3. Good to be here this morning. Good to have all of you. Lord's been good to us. We'll get right into the lesson. First Timothy chapter 3. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall in condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall in reproach and snare of the devil. I'm going to stop right there, and my lesson is going to be on those seven verses this morning. Now, contrary to what the world tells you, God does not use a man just because he's went to a seminary and he's learned how to speak before people. Now, there's lots of good speakers in the world today, but are they ordained of God? Now, Paul said that God gives the increase. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So you want to remember that when a man is called of God, he must be partakers of the fruit. See? Paul told Timothy that in another place. Now, a lost man cannot preach the gospel. He can say the words, but he cannot preach the gospel. Because Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. So, for the gospel to be effective, it's got to have power. And God only gives power to save people that's been called. They've got to have a calling. Now, let's go back to this verse 1 here. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. All right, now, first of all, let's define bishop. Bishop in the Bible has a connotation of an overseer. That's what the root word of bishop means. It does not mean he's a high-collared preacher that's got the right reverend in front of his name about three times, and he's got a double LD behind the title. Does not mean that. It means that a man has been saved, and God puts on him a desire to see lost souls saved, and a desire to do things for God that's beyond normal Christian living. Now let me say this, lest you think that there's a one-way street into getting people to come to church. Every Christian is a witness for Christ. See? Now, the lesson I've got this morning, I've heard more people make errors on it than any other scripture, I guess, in the Bible. But the Bible is plain on what it takes to be a bishop. A bishop is a saved man that's been called to preach, has a desire to preach, wants to preach, and he's willing to pay the price to preach. That means he's willing to get out of the bed every morning that God got something for him to do and go do it. That means he prepares himself for it. And a bishop is a learned man in the Bible. Not necessarily a college man, a learned man. See? So, the desire is there. Now, a preacher, even in Baptist churches, is not necessarily a bishop. It's been a custom of Baptists for many, many years. When a young man comes and says, I've been called to preach, it's a custom that they license him to preach. And he goes out and he does his work, and the church examines him. Examines him. He's on examination. And if he's successful in carrying on the work, if he's successful in getting a place to preach, then the church, after a full examination of him, they will ordain him as an ordained minister. Now, normally, when Baptist ranks, that's what's called a bishop. A bishop is an ordained preacher. See? Now, God may call a bishop to be a pastor. He might call a bishop to be a missionary. He might call a bishop to be an evangelist. Now the custom has been in churches that a licensed minister can be a missionary if a church decides to send him locally, or he can be an evangelist. But the church has always got to send him out. See? Now, what happens between a bishop and a licensed minister? Well, a church has got to ordain him. Did you know that a church ordained Paul? Did you know that? You're looking kind of funny. Turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Let's read something there. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, and Simon, that was called Niger, and Lucas of Cyrene, and Manaea, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. That is an important scripture. First of all, who sent them? Who sent them? The Holy Spirit had the church to send them. Separate me. When the Holy Spirit said, Separate me, Saul and Barnabas, for the work, who was the Holy Spirit addressing that to? The church. The church. So it's very important that you remember. For biblical missionaries to go out, they must be sent by a scriptural church. See? That's why that I don't have any confidence in these organizations, such as the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I don't have any confidence in that. Where's the church sending? What did this do right here? Now, what did they do? What did they do when the Holy Spirit said, Separate me, Paul and Barnabas? It says, and when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. Okay. Did you know that Timothy was ordained? Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm getting ahead of myself. I want you to get this. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's look at verse 14. 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. What is that? What do we call that today? We call that an ordination, don't we? So, I want people to understand that we don't just do things in Baptist churches because somebody thought it up. See, now that's what mostly is going on in religion today. Somebody thought it up. But we ordain preachers. Now, in the way this church and most churches I've been in, independent Baptist churches, they will not let a man pastor until he's been ordained. And when he's been ordained, then he can pastor church, and then we call him a bishop. Now, I know if you fool with religion, you find out the Episcopal Church and the Catholics and all them, they have men that has been elevated up, and they'll say, Bishop so-and-so. Well, he's in charge of a diocese. Well, the Bible knows nothing of that. So I just wanted to put a scotch on that right now while I'm here. But we have bishops. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. See? But you got to desire it. It's got to have a desire. Okay? A bishop then must be blameless. Now that don't mean he lives above sin. But that means he's got these attributes that I'm going to read about on him that we read further in this chapter. He must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Now, I need to stop right there and say something. You older members here, how many of you knows young preachers that's apt to teach? They're not apt to teach. They need to sit under a pastor and learn how to teach. See? They must be blameless. That means quit their sins. Yep. The husband and one wife. I talked to a fellow and I said, how about y'all's pastor? And he got two living wives. Oh, yeah. But I said, the Bible says husband and one wife. He said, well, so we believe it means one at a time. I said, well, God didn't mean that. If you think God meant that, you go read 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and see if God means that. One wife. Okay? And let me say this while I'm here. A wife of a preacher is important to him. She can either stand for him, stand behind him, or she can be run out from under him doctrinally. And that's the way it is. So we have a man that's going to be a bishop. He must be apt to teach, given to hospitality. That means he must be friendly. A bishop has got to be friendly. A bishop has got to be a people person. Now, I need to explain that. That does not mean he's got to be a compromiser. Don't compromise the Scripture. But he's got to be a person that loves people. Loves lost souls. Okay? Of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Not given to wine. No wine. No wine. Okay? No striker. What does that mean? No striker. He won't quit. He won't quit. Now, I need to tell you, and these preachers here can vouch for that. When you run your flag up the pole and said, I'm a preaching, you're going to get resistance. The devil's going to resist you. The crowd of people that don't believe what you're preaching, they're going to resist you. So you must be sent to do that. Not a striker. See? Not greedy of filthy lucre. I am appalled today at the ministries we've got in this earth, and they said, "What do you do for a living?" "Oh, I'm a preacher. I'm a reverend. I decided to go to school and be a preacher, and that's my vocation. And I'm a biker for Jesus." You see what I mean? So preaching is a vocation. But I understand Baptists have had problems with money and a preacher for a millennial. See? When you go to preach, your attitude is not to be, "I'm preaching for money." Now that does not mean, and I do not teach, that a church ought to starve a preacher to death and let him live on fried rabbit tracks. See? A church sends out a preacher, ordains a preacher. If he's going to be their preacher, they need to support him financially. I had an incident that my older brother talked about, Southern Baptist man. They called him to preach. I could tell you the church. And he signed a year's contract. Well, the preacher preached about 3 months, and the members went to the deacons and said, We don't like his preaching. Said, "Can y'all get rid of him?" And it just kind of got worse and worse and worse. I don't know what he preached, but I just know that my brother, oldest brother, told about it. He's a Southern Baptist now. Well, he signed a year's contract. So the deacon board went to him and said, "Hey," said, "the people's tired of you. Said we're gonna let you go." He said, "Okay," but said, "you're gonna fulfill my contract." And said, "No, we're not." He said, "Well, I'll see a lawyer." And guess what? They fulfilled his contract. Okay? Now that's an incident that I know about. Now take that into this scripture we got under consideration this morning. All right? Okay, not given wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. Not covetous. See? You say, "What are you reading about this morning, Brother Glenn?" I'm reading about the scriptural qualifications for a bishop. In Baptist ranks, a bishop is an ordained preacher. All right? "One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity." That's a good one, isn't it? I have known preachers that failed on that point. Their children were not in subjection to them. You say, "Well, what about when they get 40? Well, now when your children get older enough to get out of the house and you don't control them anymore, then you're not in control. But if you train them right, so when they do get out of the house, they still give you honor and glory, God will be satisfied with that. But while they're under your jurisdiction, you need to have them under subjection. Does not mean you beat up on your kids. Not mean that you're mean to them. But yet you get them in subjection. Now, you know the easiest way to get a child under subjection? Start early. Start early. You can't wait till a kid gets 16 and said, I'm gonna bring them under subjection. Too late. Too late. You start early. You start early. Okay, it's what he said. If a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? You see what I mean? Now are we beginning to get the meaning of a bishop a little more? He's an overseer. He has been ordained to be an overseer. See? And like I said already, some ordained men are pastors, some are evangelists, some are missionaries. That's fine. See? But they should fulfill what we're talking about right here. You see what I mean? All right. Verse 6. Not a novice. Okay. What does a novice mean? It means a beginner. A beginner. Young man says, I'm called to preach. How long will it take me to be ordained? I said it'll take as long as the church is willing to put up with you if you pan out right. If you don't pan out right, they don't ever ordain you. Yeah.
They've never learned any better. I mean, they've been in it 15 years, and they're still novices. They don't know what to do.
Yes, sir.
So, again, a novice is not necessarily just a beginner. It's somebody that does not have any experience of what they're doing.
They can be in a vocation for a long time and still not learn anything. Listen to this next one. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall in condemnation of the devil. Now, wait a minute. What is that verse alluding to? That verse is alluding to, if you're a pastor and you got a serious problem, how are you going to handle it? I mean, we got two preachers here this morning, and I could ask them, as a pastor, did you ever have a serious problem with people in the church? Huh? You see what I mean? Man, you got all kind of problems. And I'm going to mention a word this morning that most Baptists will run from. And I've had problems with it ever since I've been ordained a deacon. That's adultery. Baptists has got a problem. The religious world, including Baptists, has got a problem with adultery. See? Well, I was done wrong. I've done this, I've done that. Now, this is my opinion, and you may run me off for it. There is a scripture for divorce, but there is not a scripture to divorce and remarry. I know. That's why we got just a few here. That's all right. I can't teach nothing but what the Bible tells me to teach. What else could I say? All right? This is a good one. Moreover, he, the bishop, must have a good report of them that are without and lost my place. With them or without, lest they fall and approach the snare of the devil. And so, they must have a good report of them without. Now, what's he talking about there? What's he talking about? He's talking about your life should be such that sinners don't have anything to say against you, sinfully speaking. In other words, you're supposed to live your life that they can't find anything that he's talked about up here. Not covetous. See? Husband of one wife. My old pastor back at Pollard Church, he was the hardest man that I've ever met on sin. He'd call sins. He'd call them by name. He'd call people by name. And he would preach out of the pulpit on false doctrine, and he would call them Camelites. And in the pulpit. And when he dismissed church, he'd walk out the front door, "Hello, Joe, how are you? Glad to have you." And every kind of person that would come to church, he greeted them courteously. In other words, he was not making his reproof a personal vendetta. A good report of them there without. While you're listening to so good, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm about to run out of time, but let me get this in. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 21. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 21. Here's what Paul said. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Isn't that being good report of them that are without? See, we do that so they don't bring reproach upon your ministry. You say, well, if I go out there and go to preaching the Bible, am I going to get criticized? Yeah. But be sure you're criticized for telling the truth. Not criticized for stealing something at Walmart. Right.
And, you know, you can't have a double life.
Can't do it.
One in church and one out of church, because it destroys the ministry.
Yep.
You don't have one.
Now, that's right. Now, Baptist churches that's true to God use this pattern to ordain preachers. Now, Titus, chapter 1 of Titus, I don't have time to go there, alludes to some of these same things. So, a young preacher that's aspiring to become ordained needs to look at this closely and see how he patterns his life to it. See? You say, well, I know preachers that's gone bad. Oh, I do too. And you say, I had one man say, where do they stand with God? I said, I don't know. Paul told me to judge nothing before the time. I'm going to leave that up to God. But I'm like one well-known evangelist that most of y'all know. He says, I go from churches to churches, state to state, and said I don't know, but said it sounds like that some of the preachers are lost to me. And I'm not judging, but man, when you got these things to go by and they don't do it, what can you conclude? What can you conclude? You see, and y'all all know this, God has got His people and the devil's got his crowd. And the Bible talks about those that come in unawares. They snuck in unaware. See? And the mind of man thinks you join the church and get baptized, you're okay with God. And good preachers work on that. No, you're not saved except you've been born from within. Born from within. That old preacher I was telling you about a while ago, you come up here and pray with him, he'd pray with you, call the church in to pray with you, he'd come around in a minute and say, has God done anything for you in your heart? You better not lie now. Didn't he do it? And scared. I went up once, and he come around and they called church in, prayed for me. He said, he come around and said, Lord, done anything for you in your heart? You better not lie now. I said, no, sir. We prayed three times. He said, you need to come back tonight. Pray that God will touch your heart. You don't have a broken heart. That's the kind of man I was raised under. He wasn't perfect, but he didn't take prisoners. Yeah.
Because I knew even before I was ever under conviction, while I was growing up, one of the things I learned that false
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, he preached often. He preached often. The fastest way to hell is on a Baptist church road. He did. All right, I'm out of time. Brother Herbert's looking at me funny. How many had your Bible? All right, thank you. Thank you, brother. Hands cold. God bless you. Thank you, sister. Thank you, ladies. $5.90. We had 11 present, 11 Bibles. God bless you, brother. My hands are cold. I sling them up here and I get
on part of it.
Bless you, brother. How many did you have?
6, 3, and 30.
6 present, 3 Bibles, $130. How many did you have? Tina? Well, she just had 2. 2 and 1 Bible. Girl back there on the back seat, first time she's been here. Yeah. Now the one with the baby. Now the other girl's a member here. That's her sister. She got her to come with her today.